I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But let's get into it. New rules. Grounding the ball. Here's one of the new rules. Now, apparently there's no rule changes. But I think there might be a little bit of... They say... What did they say? Adjustments?
Amendments.
Amendments. But no rule changes. Amendments, guys. So make sure we know that. No rule changes, just amendments. Grounding the ball. Tries will now be awarded if the ball rotates from the hand to the wrist or forearm, provided there is no obvious separation between the ball and the hand or arm. The new interpretation will allow further clarity for officials when adjudicating grounding. Timmy, what are your thoughts on this, mate?
It's hard to get your head around it until you see it play out, but I'm just picturing blokes grounding the ball with their elbow and it's just going to cause blow-ups. Yeah. I'm trying to get my head around it, but, you know, it's rolling up there. It gets to the mid-forearm and it gets down, but there's no separation.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds dodgy. At best to me, but...
Was it a problem?
No, I
did anyone have an issue with grounding calls?
I thought they were getting on top of it.
Like, yeah, I thought it was pretty...
A few years ago, people were grounding it with their forearms, and it was like, this is ridiculous.
It was almost bouncing.
Yeah, because there's no control. Yeah. So are they going back to that? Like, is that what I'm reading?
I wonder if it's because when you drop it and then ground it, they always say no try because you have to re-grip the ball. I wonder if it's to... abolish that, which I think is silly because that's black and white. I thought that was a great rule. So it's going to be weird to see if like they drop it and then before it touches the ground, they do that and then they actually
then that's
award
separation
the try.
Though.
But if it goes down and rolls up, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's I feel like it's adding more shit in.
Mm. Yeah. And regardless of what it says there, it'll be set in the first few weeks by the first few decisions and we won't know what it's meant to say, but we'll know what it looks like.
Yeah, what it looks like. Yeah, look, I mean, I didn't feel like there was a problem with grounding. Like, I didn't feel like I was sitting there each game. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there were certain games where the player did ground the ball and he didn't get the try or whatever, but did not seem like a big problem to me. Whereas, like, now that they've come out and said this is amendment, fans are going to be like, I want the flag, you know, so hopefully it works out all right. What do you reckon, Guru?
Oh, yeah, that's we love our grey areas, don't we? We just love them greyer and greyer.
Could you imagine? So that means if I roll it, like, to my chest.
Yeah, where does it stop?
Where does it say forearm?
I guess elbow.
Yeah, the tries will now be awarded if ball rotates from hand to the wrist or forearm. So the wrist or forearm. So basically all the way up to the bicep. Anyway, next one. Operation of the 18th player rule. The number of failed head injury assessments, will be reduced from 3 to 2 to trigger activation of the 18th player. This will allow greater flexibility for clubs which lose multiple players to head injuries in the match. I like this call.
Yeah, I think
this is. I thought 3 was way too much.
Yeah, and until I saw it, I probably didn't have an understanding of it, but I definitely think that 2 is the right way to go.
I just thought, because like what would happen is you'd be watching games and 2 blokes would go down, and you'd be like, your bench is decimated because then someone else has done his hammy or whatever. And you're going, fuck, we got like one bloke. Whereas like 2 blokes, I think 2 is good. What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, it seems pretty clear cut. And that's it. Like you go 2 HIAs failed, and they can't activate. I'm like, all right, that's okay. But as you said, you throw in injuries on top of that, yeah, and they're just stuffed. So I think it's a sensible move.
Yeah, I like it. I think this is a smart move. And it just it also makes the decision for the head injury, like, that, even though they shouldn't, but it makes it easier for clubs to go to make the safer decision because they've got someone there ready to go. They don't have to worry about rotations, that kind of stuff. So I like this one. Maddie, do you like this one? Not like this one?
No, that's a obvious good one for me. I think like a good example was the Sinbin game when the Roosters lost a couple of players and it ended up costing them their season.
Yeah.
Because they had Teddy go off and I think it was another one and they
Angus couldn't. Crichton maybe? Angus
yeah, it might have been Crichton, yeah. So like yeah. two key players and they couldn't recover from that. Yeah. So yeah. Easy call.
Intervention of bunker in foul play. The bunker may only intervene for acts of foul play which it deems to be reportable. The change will ensure fewer needless stoppages while also confirming a firmer process around foul play intervention. This one is like going to be vague because it's like, is that reportable? Isn't that reportable? Some people argue that no reportable, you know, reportable offences should only be judged by someone after the game because they've got all the, you know, the replays and all that kind of stuff. I guess, you know, who makes the call, whether it's a reportable offence, is it another a ref?
You would assume so, yeah.
So another ref sits in there and says, that's reportable.
Yeah. Pulling so the it all comes down to perspective week to week.
Mm.
So.
What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, I mean, it'll speed it up slightly, but at the same time, you can be put on report and not get charged and it means nothing.
Yeah.
So they can still intervene essentially whenever they want and then it gets put on report and nothing comes out of it. So they'll be intervening a lot.
Mm.
I don't think it'll change much at all.
I reckon this will solve zero. I reckon refs are going to honestly shit themselves and like not want to make a call and take the easy option and just put everything on report. I reckon it's a waste of time, to be honest.
Okay. I'll wait and see how it goes. I mean, hopefully it does speed it up because like I feel like with the bunker, you either put it all in or you just have it for tries and that.
Mm.
Because we just can't afford for the game to be too slow. Like, I think most fans would be okay with some calls not going their way as long as it's a smooth game. You always get the calls back. Like, I say this all the time, but how often hasn't the best team not won the comp because of calls against them? Doesn't really happen where we end a season and we go, the best team didn't win the comp. No season whatsoever.
No bite there?
No bite? No. Nah. but you know what I mean? Like, usually, I can't recall a year where we go, you know what? Like, they weren't actually the best team. Like, this team got dudded two games in a row and then they should have gone through. You know, you could make an argument that, like, there was a semi-final where they got a bad call or whatever, but I think it's pretty rare. Usually the best team wins a comp. Now, captain's challenge. A challenge may be initiated after the referee blows a whistle to stop play rather than only after a decision resulting in a structured restart. So basically, any time the referee blows his whistle to stop play, the challenge may be initiated. Decisions which cannot be challenged will be continued to include forward passes, roll balls, and discretionary penalties, including 10-metre offside. Ruck infringements relating to the play the ball speed, tackled into touch after held call and descent. A challenge can be made following the final play in each half, provided the referee has not already called half or full time. The changes will add further clarity for fans, broadcasters, clubs and players around when a captain's challenge can or cannot be initiated.
How good's the challenge can be made following the final? I was driving around a car park yesterday and there was a sign that said no parking. It was on the ramp and I thought, that's because some dickhead at some point has parked here. Doesn't that just scream Tigers Cowboys?
Yeah, they just want to like, God, until they, it says two whistles. There's two whistles. One to stop the game, one to call halftime. What do you reckon, boys? I mean, it's still not very clear to me in regards to like, if you're a fan, you're not trying to take in that much information. You know, like you just... So the decisions that cannot be challenged, they'll continue to include forward passes, roll balls, discretionary penalties, including 10 metres offside, ruck infringements relating to play the ball speed, tackled into touch after held call and descent. So anyway, to be honest, it's all too much information to me. offside infringement at scrums. Let's go. I haven't read this one yet, hopefully. A full penalty will be awarded rather than a set restart for offside scrum infringements by the defensive team anywhere on the field. Yes.
That's what we need.
Love it.
Thank Christ.
Thank Christ for that. It was getting outrageous. The amount of teams are just like, stuff it. Just make it. Just give them six again. They're already at their first tackle anyway. Who gives a shit? The non-infringing team will retain the option of repacking the scrum or taking the awarded penalty. Any team which deliberately locks the ball in the scrum to trap defenders in an offside position will also be penalised. Well done. I love this NRL. I think this is fantastic. Fuck the scrum, as in fuck the defensive teams. They were always screaming up. They were always getting offside and making it basically not impossible because their tries were still scored. But tries were usually scored off scrums when teams didn't break the rules. Guru, thoughts?
Any team which deliberately locks the ball in the scrum to trap defenders, so you can't try and trick the opposition anymore, is that essentially what they're saying?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Not sure what the problem with that part.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that.
Keep the team onside.
Like, yeah, keep them honest.
That's your halfback's duty to call when the ball's out.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's strange. That's, yeah.
I don't mind that. Like, it is what it is. Like, fuck. They're going to call the penalty if they're offside, even though, you know, maybe they get it wrong that time.
Oh, the first half that I loved, though. Yeah. We desperately needed that. As you said, all the teams were taking the piss out of it, and you would have been stupid to not take the piss out of it.
Well, I'm just from the mind of, like, look, did I ever watch a game and were like, how good he trapped the ball, and they balked? Like, didn't really add much to me. Like, I understand Fair. It keeps them honest, but in saying that, it's a bit of a nothing thing.
Agree, love it. And I also like that they probably were tempted to change it midway through last year when it was becoming out of hand, but I'm glad they just held off until the off-season. So, yeah, it's great. Really good.
Yep, good
it's
stuff,
like,
NRL.
It's like for years we had – I used to hate rugby union fans saying your scrums are pointless, they're worthless, why do you do it? And I'd sort of sit there and go, you know what, you're right in a lot of regards, they don't serve a lot of purpose in the game. And in recent years, because they're sort of getting a lot of these structures around the scrums and what the defensive lines can and can't do, we're seeing so many tries scored off them. So they're bringing the set players back into
it. Give outside back space.
Yeah, and they're great. They're great to watch. And as a result of this, we're going to see a lot more tries off scrums. And I'm all for it because the best executed teams score off it. You know, I won't say more often than not, but pretty often. Mm. It's a great part of the game. It opens it up.
Yeah,
and historically one of the better scrum coaches, Tim Sheens, too. So hopefully,
interesting. Yeah. Now, 10-meter compliance in general play. Active defenders must have both feet in line or behind the referee when setting the 10-metre defensive line. Referees will have the option of awarding a full penalty for multiple 10-metre breaches without requiring the mandatory use of the sin bin. Referees can still use the sin bin if they consider breaches to be deliberate or cynical. The changes will give further clarity to officials and teams around what constitutes a breach of the rules. Has it always been both feet behind?
That's what I was trying to work
out. I thought it was 1 foot.
Yeah, so I wish the article said what they went to, when they went from. I'm not really sure.
But look,
find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. Look, I don't mind it. Both feet is pretty hectic. If it hasn't been both feet already, you're basically getting an extra meter nearly.
Yeah.
Because you've got to take, because you can't stand with both feet flat footed in the same. You've got to have 1 foot back. So instead of being a meter forward of that 10, like, so basically, let's say you need 1 foot behind, you put your 1 foot behind the line, and then you're leaning forward in a start position. That's about a meter. You're going to have to go a whole meter back. So it's basically like an 11 meter fucking.
That's a substantial change.
Yeah.
Because I was under the impression that it was always just 1 foot behind the line.
Like, yeah.
You've had a game of footy or watched in your life where it's both feet. So if that is, yeah, and it's changed from 1 foot to two,
it may have
it's a pretty big change.
It's pretty, well, it's a whole meter you got to work with, you know? But yeah, I mean,
so does that mean if you're defending on your try line, both feet have to be?
I'd say so. Which is like,
it's a lot.
That's a lot on your line.
If you're defending in close, that's, like, if I've got cheese, it's got me half, and I'm
It's like if they're both behind the line, they can't reach it quick enough.
Yeah, the rule last year, I'm reading here, was definitely touching the goal line with 1 foot, and then offside was 1 foot. Either on or off the ground in front of a teammate would be offside.
So the both feet,
yeah,
that's a big fucking change.
Why, there. I wonder?
Like, to make it clearer, maybe?
What's caused the change? Maybe easier for, I don't know, but...
Well, like, if you've got 2 feet behind the line on the try line, like, surely you just barge over every time.
Tell you what else, like, with the prior rule, with the scrums not leaving early, now their feet have to be both behind the ref on the scrums. That's giving the attacking side another meter to play with. Here's an early call. I reckon we're going to see a shit ton of tries off scrums.
Yeah.
Like, potentially almost comical. I could be wrong, but that's the way I'm seeing it.
And you can't shoot. Because, like, people, even before this year, people used to get offside scrums all the time. Like, all the fucking time.
They had to because the plays were so well executed. You couldn't stop them otherwise.
Yeah.
So now at the risk of giving away a penalty and you're essentially a metre back, that's, I think there's going to be a lot of scrum tries.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Maybe we've got it wrong and it was always 2 feet, but I don't recall
so,
it being.
No, sorry, it's. I think it just says in line. So I don't know if maybe they're just clearing it up a little bit. It just says in line with the referee.
But even in line,
you can have 1 foot.
You still
over,
got to fucking.
Yeah, then you can't have one in back. Front. Yeah,
you used to be able to have one in front.
That clearly says both feet.
Yeah, both feet. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it could potentially have way more impact than they realise because it's a whole meter.
It's
like,
hard to officiate unless you're on the trial line. Yeah, hard to officiate too.
Adjudication of completed tackles. Referees will issue a single call of held release when a tackle is complete, rather than the separate calls of held and release. The change will address unnecessary slowing of the play of the ball and improve game continuity. I actually don't mind this, because like what would happen is the ref would go, held, held, and the players would stay on. Then they would go, release, and the players would then slowly react like to the release call. And the ref was kind of in a spot where like, they did release, but they did it so fucking slowly. Whereas if it's just held, release, then you've only got one call to make. You got to begin straight away. You can't predict the release call that's going to come in 3 seconds and tangle yourself up or whatever. You just got to boom, get out of there. I don't mind this. Hopefully, yeah, I don't mind it. What do you reckon? We'll wait to see how it fucking plans out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. So, do you see them calling held earlier or later?
Oh fuck, I couldn't tell you. I had no idea.
I think that'll be what decides this one, won't it? Like if it's the one call held release,
I'd assume later because if it'd be touch footy.
So sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to. Were they call held early? Were they call held at the same time or later? You reckon?
I'd assume later.
They have to call it later. Because it'll become so quick if they don't. Because essentially, as you said, when they go held release, you know you're buying an extra second, maybe two. Mm. If they just call it straight at the same time, as I said, touch football would be
you'd be bouncing
so
up
quick.
Straight away. So I assume a bit longer.
They'll just have to lay it.
Just off the back of that, and I don't know if you guys agree, it seems like these rules are advantaging the team with the ball. So, like, I hope we don't see, like, another blowout kind of... Because it was good last year when the scores were a little bit closer and a few less tries. So, hopefully I'm reading into that maybe a bit too much. But it seems like the defenders are being, like, more penalised in
you
these new rules.
You get that vibe,
eh? Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it is true. Which is bizarre because, like...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I thought we'd found a good balance. Mm. You know, we had still the free-flowing great footy. Like, I thought last year's footy was really entertaining. Like, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought the year before just got fucking stupid. Way too open, way too many points, blowouts, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Again, there's a lot of this just coming through as we speak. But so the reason there's so many tries off the back of the scrum last season was because of how good teams got at holding the ball in. Halfback who feeds the scrum shoots out and gets it from the lock. They can't do that now because they can't hold it. So there's the change. So that's going to balance out.
Yeah.
You can't shoot off your line, but you've essentially got one less man.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you could still hold the ball in.
Would have been crazy.
Basically guaranteed try.
Pretty much.
Because each player has like at least, 8 metres to work with in like spaces between the players.
So the no holding is to counteract how quick So that.
Which I don't mind.
That makes sense.
I like that because it's saying basically like, look, you still got space, but you have to execute the play well.
Yeah.
You can't just hold it and then wait for the half to get the ball and then just spin it.
That's going to. From what we initially thought, that'll cut down the scrum tries a lot, but probably to a good limit. Like, it's fine.
Look, I probably half of these, like, for example, I love the scrum penalty one. I love the 18th man one. Then there's some that I'm like, probably hard no one, but most of them, like, the 2 feet behind the line is what's concerning me the most. Mm. That's the one that I'm unsure is like the most impact on the game, but maybe we've got it wrong and it's always been that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.